We're back on In Focus News Radio KMAN, talking with the Executive Director of the Governor's Military Council, Lieutenant General Retired Perry Wiggins, and Dave Lewis joins the program now.
Hi. Welcome back, General.
Thanks, Dave.
I believe it was last week, U.S. Senator Jerry Moran spoke to a group in Junction City about the possibility of having a 5th Brigade at Fort Riley. Can you give us some perspective on that and is there some traction to those hopes?
Well, I think a number of people here in the audience will remember that we used to have what was a 4th Brigade at the 1st Infantry Division. It was an infantry brigade combat team that in 2012, that brigade was stood down. And so it really impacted us economically. And to the area and the community, it was a significant emotional event. So we have been trying, Dave, as you well know, over years, trying to get formations back to Fort Riley. We think it's a great place for soldiers to come, their families to live and enjoy. But more importantly, it's an incredible place for our military to come and train and get ready and support our nation's war fight. And the example just recently of formations coming out of Fort Riley and how quickly they can move shows that that installation's ideally suited right here in the center of the United States. But because we have rail and air and we can get out very quickly, it's an ideal place to do it. I know Senator Moran has been working hard along with our other legislators to work with our Army as they continue to look to expand the footprint of our military to place those formations here at Fort Riley.
What is the current number of soldiers that are on post now?
Well, in the division itself, there's approximately 14,000, 15,000 or so. And then you add the others, probably a total, and I'm just giving ballpark here, about maybe 16, 17,000 soldiers.
How many are right now on deployment?
Well, hold on.
We have notes.
No, we don't have notes. I have this fancy little book that Fort Riley puts out.
I saw
called
one of
the Economic Impact Summary.
Uh-huh.
And so while I'm sitting here guessing, I can actually tell you how many military are out there.
We call that in radio being resourceful. It's not necessarily about being knowledgeable.
So military, Army is 14,959. Okay. Air Force, 137. The total military-connected population, that includes our veterans, retirees, and civilian employees here in the area, equates to about 67,000, 68,000 personnel. And so what was your second question?
How many are deployed?
Well, we have a brigade that's deployed right now, the 1st Brigade, and that is somewhere in the neighborhood, and I'll give you ballparks because I don't like talking specifics, somewhere in about 3,700 to 4,000. And then you have elements of the headquarters that is deployed as well. So that was 134 to 140. And then additional elements are rolling out as we speak, and I don't necessarily have those numbers, but I would say probably overall somewhere in the neighborhood about 5,000 soldiers,
and
give or take.
I bet they probably really have less of an idea of what timetable they have to return.
Now they do, because it's all indefinite, right?
Exactly.
I dealt with this with the surge during the Iraq War, where we went from 130,000 soldiers in theater up to 175,000. And then we extended soldiers in theater, too, that were initially there for 12 months, and we extended them for 15 months. One of those brigades that I did that to was right here out of Fort Riley called the 4th Brigade. Jim Champagne, as you know, the former division sergeant major, was the brigade sergeant major at that time. And I think if he'd have known I worked with the SecDef to extend him those months, probably would have been an unhappy puppy with me and probably wouldn't be as good a friend with me as he is today.
There has been talk by some people that are saying what's happening is not just an invasion, but it's also genocide.
Well, you know, you hear a lot of discussion on the news about are there war crimes being committed?
Mm-hmm.
I will tell you unequivocally, as somebody who has served in the cloth of the nation and understands, there's absolutely war crimes being committed. When you target specifically known civilian targets, that to me is something we don't do, and there's a problem there. So
does this also put into perspective Putin's status being almost lined up with Hitler?
Well, I think the bottom line is we got to be careful You know, history has a tendency to repeat itself, and everybody thinks that Putin is going to stop with just the invasion of Ukraine. If you go back and take a look at Hitler and the Nazis, you know, everybody thought he was going to stop with his initial invasions, right? And that didn't necessarily happen. So I always I don't correlate Putin as Hitler. I think, you know, time will tell in that particular case. But what I will tell you is I'm not really sure that his design is just solely Ukraine. And that's a little disconcerting to me. And I think as a nation, we need to take a look at it as worst case scenario and make sure that that does not happen. Because like I said, there was a young population of folks that sat and talked about globalization and how that will end all major wars. I'm not too sure we can count on that anymore. And that's something that now a lot of these think tanks and other people ought to be taking a look at and saying, okay, at what point do you retain assets that protect you in your national security, and what things can you export in capabilities to other nations?
That's fascinating stuff. And, you know, there's such a polarization of the national news media these days that you want to believe whenever there's stories about war that it's true. Where would you say is a good source to start if you're trying to consume news about this situation in Ukraine? Maybe you should have multiple sources.
I think so. I think this is going to be the first war, though, that we're going to really take a look at, that people are actually going to pull up iPhones and show you incidents as they are ongoing. That is unique. That is something that is new. I think the American people ought to listen to the Ukrainian people. When they're being interviewed, you're getting the raw emotions, the raw feelings as it's happening. And then you can draw a conclusion on by yourself. There is a whole lot of misinformation, especially in wartime. I think it's imperative that people watch all sorts of. But this should not be political.
Right.
That, you know, you mentioned political up front. That makes me bristle. When we start having bullets fly, the time for politics goes by the wayside. And now it's what's in the best interest of the American people. And that's where we ought to draw the line. And so for me, as a professional military officer that invested 34 years of his life and has two sons that are still wearing the cloth of the nation, I am deeply concerned that we don't approach this from anything other than what's in the best interest of the United States and its citizens, because that's what we're charged to protect.
All right. Good discussion here this morning. It's certainly great that we could have you on the program. We love having you here each month and getting your perspective. Thanks for being here. Thanks for coming up from Chapman.
Thanks, Brian. You know, here's the thing. My phone's been buzzing off the hook, so I'm sure there's lots of other questions out there that nobody wanted to ask on air. But I truly appreciate the opportunity. Thanks.
All right, that's going to wrap up our show here for today. Busy show lined up for you tomorrow. We've got Karen Hibbard going to be here. We'll have Riley County Extension, AAUW, they've got some stuff going on, and much more.